Hi, I'm Francesca, a registered nutritional therapist, and you're listening to another episode of the Empowered Perimenopause podcast. Welcome. My aim is to bring you down-to-earth, conversational episodes that help you develop a deeper understanding of how your body's changing in your 40s, and most importantly, how you can support yourself throughout this wonderful transitional phase of your life. Join me for my solo episodes and also episodes with guests for fun, fresh, truthful chat on all things health and happiness in your 40s. And now on to the episode. Hi, and welcome back to another episode with me, your host, Francesca. In today's episode, I want to talk about something you may or may not have heard of, a compound called DIM and also a compound called sulforaphane, and how they can help us in perimenopause, but also when we might want to not, we might want to consider not using specifically DIM. So that's what we're going to be talking about today, because I do speak to a lot of people that have maybe read about these compounds, particularly DIM being quite a popular one for supporting their estrogen balance, you know, their hormone health overall. But it doesn't work as simply as it may seem or what you may have read about online. And I do get some clients come to me with various symptoms, and they're in perimenopause with various symptoms. And when I ask them for the list of the supplements that they're currently taking, DIM is sometimes one of them. And I just find this can be a little bit problematic. And I have had to, advise that we stop using this DIM supplement. And usually symptoms do improve when a person takes it out. And what we'll usually do is some testing, because I'll explain as we go through why and how that can help. To know whether this person should or should not be on DIM. And usually the case is that they don't need it or they shouldn't be, and it could be making things worse for them, contrary to what they might have believed online. If you have heard of DIM, you may have heard it in terms of managing things like estrogen dominance or excess estrogen or hormone detoxification, heavy periods, mood swings, fibroids even. So those are the symptoms or experiences that you might have read about it. And we'll break down exactly what DIM actually is, how it can help, when you shouldn't supplement with it, when you can, and how to reap its benefits through foods instead, because there is a very much more beneficial way that we can make sure we're getting good amounts of DIM, but not too much that it might actually be causing more problems. So as I said, DIM is often marketed as this magic fix for hormone symptoms, hormone issues, mostly things, as I said, like heavy periods, fibroids, mood swings, maybe breast pain as well. But it is just much more nuanced than that. So what is DIM and what does it do? DIM stands for diindolylmethane. It is a compound naturally found in cruciferous vegetables. So that's veg like broccoli, cauliflower, kale, cabbage, Brussels sprouts, watercress. It isn't a hormone, but it does influence how your body processes estrogen. And in this way, it can influence the clearance of estrogen from the body and therefore its level. Essentially, DIM helps your body convert estrogen into forms that are easier and safer to eliminate. So when we have our used molecules of estrogen, our cells have used, that molecule goes into the liver, where it goes through what's known as phase one and phase two estrogen detoxification processes. I've talked about these in previous episodes. I'm going to link to that episode in the show notes. And I've also written a blog about this, which I'll also link to in the show notes. But basically, in phase one estrogen detox, that used estrogen gets broken down into three different what's known as metabolites, like breakdown products of that used estrogen. And then those breakdown products go through the second phase, which is known as estrogen methylation. And that's how they get passed out of the body permanently. Well, from there, they get sent to the gut. They sit in the gut waiting to be excreted permanently via a bowel movement. So that's kind of like the third phase. So we do need to have a well-working gut in order for phases one and phase two to be worth anything. So it can sound amazing that DIM can help your body convert your used estrogen into forms that are easier and safer to eliminate via the liver, especially if you've been told that you have excess estrogen or that you're estrogen dominant. But there's a catch here, because, for example, if you only have estrogen dominance, that doesn't necessarily mean you have high levels of estrogen at all. It just means that the hormone estrogen is dominating your cycle because you do not make enough progesterone to balance it out. That's essentially what estrogen dominance means. It doesn't mean that person genuinely has high levels of estrogen. It can mean that it could be that person has excess estrogen, but for the most part, it's usually the hormone is dominating the cycle as opposed to it being too high. So the problem with DIM and why it isn't for everyone can be that if we think we have, you know, we have breast pain, we have heavy periods, maybe we have fibroids, so we believe we have high levels of estrogen in the body. So then we go and we read about DIM, we take DIM. But actually, if we didn't have high levels of estrogen in the body and that wasn't the cause of those symptoms, and it was just that it was dominating that was the cause of those symptoms, then you're potentially taking a supplement that's going to lower estrogen out of circulation when it just doesn't need to be lowered. And then that's going to start causing its own problems. You know, for example, low estrogen problems, which is not what we want. So if your body's phase two liver detox pathways, this is what I just mentioned, is called estrogen methylation, or your gut health isn't working properly, if either of those two processes aren't working properly, then DIM can backfire. This is where it has that ability to lower estrogen out of circulation. So what it does in this situation is it will push estrogen metabolism too far. So it can kind of push it too fast and lower your estrogen levels too much. And then if we have low estrogen, we're going to be left with typical low estrogen symptoms, like maybe feeling anxious, fatigued, flat, dry skin, vaginal dryness, low libido, flat mood, low mood, depression, just like your hormones have completely tanked. And this is the last thing that we want when estrogen levels are already naturally fluctuating in perimenopause. Even if we have high levels of estrogen, which is going to happen as part of that estrogen roller coaster, high one minute, low the next, high, low, high, low. We don't want to be messing with our levels. We want to be helping to taper, you know, kind of calm that estrogen roller coaster, yes, but we don't really want to be putting things in that will lower estrogen out of circulation. This is a time when estrogen is fluctuating erratically, which is a natural part of perimenopause. And then in the later stages of perimenopause, we start to see an actual decline in overall levels of estrogen whilst we still have the roller coaster. But this is when we do start to see this real decline in estrogen the closer we get to reaching menopause. So whatever stage of perimenopause you're in, the last thing you want to be doing is going in with DIM, because we don't want to be messing with that level and potentially tanking it. So the smarter approach, the first thing to do if you're considering using DIM for, like I said, things like maybe heavy periods, painful breasts, maybe you know you have fibroid and you've read about DIM. If you're considering using it, I wouldn't just go by symptoms or what you've read online, what you've read on social media. I would be thinking about functional hormone and detox testing to show you exactly how your hormone, how your body right now is metabolizing, breaking down your used estrogen. That way you can make informed choices rather than just take hormone gambles and, you know, you're literally taking a stab in the dark and not really knowing what the outcome's going to be. And for this, in my practice, I use the Dutch test, which I've talked about before. I'm going to link to my Dutch test hormone packaging in the show notes. So the Dutch test is a urine testing, dried urine testing, and it's a really great way to see how your body, how that phase one and phase two estrogen detoxification process is working in your body. And that's what's so wonderful about the Dutch test. Hormone testing, you know, whether it's urine, whether it's serum, can be not very reliable, particularly during perimenopause, because we just don't know like what's really going on at the cellular level. So we might see the amount of hormone that's in the blood, coming out in the urine, but we're not really knowing how much is actually being used by the cells. But what this test is really great at showing us is how your estrogen detoxification process is, how your estrogen metabolism is actually going. And that's what's really important to help us know whether somebody needs to be using DIM or not. And obviously it helps to tell us lots of other things as well about your hormone health. So the smarter way to do it would be to use what's known as sulforaphane. This is a great way to support hormone health, far more gentler and more effective actually than using DIM. Sulforaphane is another compound that's also found in those cruciferous vegetables, especially found in broccoli sprouts. We can make broccoli sprouts ourselves. There's lots of very simple, helpful YouTube videos about it. We just need to buy broccoli seeds and then, yeah, watch the YouTube tutorials about what to actually do with them. Or you can find them in good health food shops. They'll usually have cartons of broccoli sprouts. So unlike DIM, sulforaphane, or what's known, what we'd find in broccoli sprouts, supports multiple phases of estrogen detoxification and helps to regulate that breakdown of estrogen without depleting your hormones, without running the risk of lowering estrogen in circulation. It also offers a long list of other benefits, making it a real powerhouse for perimenopause or for hormone health generally. I will always suggest that we start adding in sulforaphane. We can also take it as a supplement, which I'll talk about in a minute. Sulforaphane supports estrogen balance and detox pathways. It reduces inflammation and oxidative stress on the body. All of that is very helpful for hormone health overall and your entire perimenopause experience. Sulforaphane enhances glutathione, which is the body's master antioxidant, which a lot of us are just burning through and having low levels of. And that also impacts our entire perimenopause experience and symptoms. Sulforaphane protects the brain. It protects function of the brain and boosts mental clarity. And it also supports immune resilience during hormonal shifts. So how do we get more sulforaphane? So it's activated. So I've mentioned the broccoli sprouts, which you can buy or you can make at home. And I would just sprinkle a little handful over salads or over my meal. I just put it on top of a meal and then mix it in. Sometimes I'll put it into smoothies. So that's one way. And then the other helpful way as well is sulforaphane is activated when you chop or chew cruciferous vegetables. So the chopping or the chewing of cruciferous veggies, that mechanical process, triggers an enzyme called myrosinase. So one tip would be that if you're going to be cooking with, say, broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, kale, chop them up a little bit before you're going to be cooking them or eating them. And that will help to activate, like release that enzyme called myrosinase, which turns into sulforaphane. Really great to be adding these sorts of vegetables into stir fries, into soups, into smoothies, into salads. I love just stir frying most days chopped cruciferous vegetables. In fact, I eat cruciferous vegetables every single day. They're sort of the foundation of my vegetable supply overall throughout the week. And then I just add in lots of different colors and types of veg throughout the week. And just, yeah, if you're the other way to get sulforaphane is by supplement. So this is one that is safe and is helpful, unlike DIM. You really, really do need to know what you're doing when it comes to using DIM. So for some women, it is helpful to supplement with DIM just for maybe 2 to 3 months or 6 weeks if we are definitely sure that they have very excess levels of estrogen and they just need that support for a little while we work on why they have excess estrogen, which is usually because they're having trouble clearing it out of the body efficiently via the liver, via the gut. There's some efficiency issues there that we need to address. And in the meantime, for a very short period of time, we could use some DIM. I don't tend to use it that often in my practice, but that is a time when it could be used. But a supplement of sulforaphane is always going to be helpful. And I would always suggest that somebody, you know, if you're looking after estrogen health, this is a great one to have in stock. You don't necessarily need to be using it all the time unless your testing shows that you do need to be using it all the time. Again, that would be the Dutch test that would show you that. So the Dutch test is showing us things like of those three different breakdown products of used estrogen, we don't want to be making too much of one. One of them in particular, for example, known as the 4OH pathway or 4OH metabolites, can be problematic by way of increasing things like estrogen-driven cancers, for example. So we definitely don't want that one to be too high. And if it's too high and the what's known as the 2OH metabolites are too low, that's the most protective pathway if you're using estrogen to go down, then we would want to be using a supplement of sulforaphane. So using broccoli sprouts in your food and cruciferous vegetables is great. But if somebody has very low levels of 2OH and then higher levels of the 4OH metabolites, we really want to be getting in there with the supplement as well to really try and, you know, change that situation for them. So if you are going to use a sulforaphane supplement, just make sure that you choose one when you look at the label that says both glucoraphanin and naze for full effect. You want to make sure that it's got both of those contained in when you look at the label. So the bottom line really is that DIM might be helpful for some women, but it isn't a one size fits all solution, particularly in perimenopause. Nothing really ever is. I mean, there are obviously some things that can be one size fits all. You know, everyone is going to benefit from having broccoli sprouts in their foods and using cruciferous vegetables and all the other foundational habits and nutritional things that I talk about. Of course, they are going to be helpful for everybody. But when it comes to supplementation, there really is no one size fits all. And DIM is definitely a big example of that. What we really want to do is support our body's natural liver detoxification pathways for estrogen and make sure that our used estrogen is broken down safely, properly, efficiently, and then it's cleared out of the body permanently via bowel movements. So that means having a healthy gut and regular healthy bowel movements, which I've talked about on previous episodes as well, and I've written blogs about. So I'll link to a couple of those in the show notes. I hope that's just been a helpful insight to DIM, if it is something that you have been aware of and maybe you're not sure about, or maybe you're using it and you might think twice now after listening to this. Do let me know if you have any questions on anything that I've talked about today, or if you just have anything that you want to share with me, or any ideas or suggestions or requests for future episode topics, anything that you would like me to particularly address. I would love to hear from you because it really does help me when planning the content that I'm going to be putting together. You can just email me and I'll have my, or send me a DM on Instagram, and all those details will be in the show notes. Thank you for listening and I'll see you next week. Bye bye.
If you found this episode helpful, then please share it with anyone else who you think could benefit. And consider leaving a rating and a review, as this will help the podcast to reach and help more people. And if you need more guidance on your own health journey, you can grab my free guide, 6 Steps to Mastering Your Hormones in Your 40s, over at francescaliparotti.com, where you can sign up for your free copy. Or you'll also find the link in the show notes.